Welcome once again to the Gobeski Wallace Report podcast. My name is Charlie Wallace.
And I'm Adam Gobeski.
So what will we be discussing today, Adam?
We'll be discussing nothing. Nothing at all.
Good. That's the way we like it.
It is?
Yeah. I think that's the whole idea. People listen to this because it's on.
Didn't we have a manifesto last week? What did we decide on that?
We decided that we would do whatever we felt like, and I guess today we feel like nothing in particular.
Okay, I guess. I'd like to point out that this is, in fact, the second attempt at nothing tonight.
Well, it worked out so well the first time that
we have to redo it.
Yeah, you were getting some positive responses, and one very negative response, but mostly positive responses, I think, on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that.
Okay, let's start out with that. Okay, apparently, though it's common to call things like this a podcast, certain people have issue with it because pod is sort of like an Apple sort of term.
Don't beat around the bush. We are talking Kevin the Crazy LeBlanc.
Yes, he left several angry Facebook wall writings all over the place. One to me, at least. I think a couple to Adam.
I think it's like five, actually.
Well, in any case, I guess we should discuss, if you don't call it a podcast, what do you call it?
Well, I believe his suggestion was MP3 available for download or something like that.
That's too long. It's got to be something that is snazzy and you can have a title for something.
Well, you can actually abbreviate that. MP3 available for download becomes MAFT.
MAFT?
Oh, MAFT.
MAFT?
MP3 available for download. MAFT.
But that's...
There's no it's just MAFT.
MF is not... You can't have those two letters in a row in the English language. Well, you can.
MAFD.
Oh, M-A-F-D. MAFT. MAFT.
Or if you were Mikey Sussner. Mikey Sussner. MAFT.
So it would be the Gobeski Wallace Report MAFT.
Basically. How would that sound? Do an intro with that.
Hello and welcome again to the Gobeski Wallace Report MAFT. I don't like it.
I think it has potential.
You think so?
It kind of sounds like a word I'm not going to say because I don't want to get in trouble. But
okay, but is pod? I think I looked this up. I'm not sure pod is actually trade. Is it trademarked by
Apple?
Well,
I mean, clearly it's a reference to the iPod.
Yes, which stands for personal on demand. I should point out. But
does it?
This is what I hear.
You know,
internet site told me.
You know, it's probably the way, like, the Commodore PET stands for personal electronic transfer or something, or translator. But they really were just, like, making a PET rock reference.
Oh, really?
This is back in 77.
Or, like, the DS, right? Where I think somebody was telling me that, like, I thought it stood for dual screen, and someone else told me that was not true. It stood for, like, developer
system. That someone else was wrong. It stands for dual screen.
Sweet. I was
However,
right.
We could go with the Apple 2GS, which the GS allegedly stands for graphics and sound, but probably doesn't actually mean anything, as far as I know.
All right, so what did we decide? Podcast or MAFT? Maybe we should let the listeners decide. They can vote.
That's true, loyal listeners. Vote on whether you want us to call this a podcast, a MAFT, or a MAFT cast.
A MAFT cast. I think I like that, though. Once you add the word cast, it really picks it up, I think.
It turns out when you add cast to words nowadays, it's like a buzzword. It makes everything better.
Like an intercast.
Like I'm gonna go get myself a pizza cast.
Did you subscribe to that pizza cast? Yes, it was delicious.
Did you download that beer cast?
Yes. I wish.
I heard you were drunk for hours.
So, okay. Well, we'll find some way to let you all know how to vote for that.
Just vote on a Facebook note. We'll make one.
We'll make a Facebook note. You can vote. And if you're not on Facebook, then I have no idea how you're even listening to this right now.
Exactly. It's a statistical anomaly.
Okay. Well, also,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we should figure out why Kevin's so opposed to podcasts, though. Do you think, like, Steve Jobs came to his house and kicked his dog?
Could be. It must be some deep psychological reasoning for it.
Although I've heard that he actually owns a Macintosh in secret.
Ooh. That would really be something. Well, maybe he should come on and respond to these allegations. Ooh.
We could try that. That would involve him finding a microphone, but it's doable.
There are harder things to do than find a microphone. $10, I think.
This one was $6.
Well, I bought a $6 microphone for $10. Or whatever. Yeah.
What? You know,
you were with me. You were with me when I bought it.
I know. It was $10. And when I went and bought the same model like a week later, the price had dropped $2.
See, I'm infuriated now. Oh, my word.
I can
word.
Sense it in your voice.
Oh, we better move on to a new topic because I am pissed. And that doesn't make for good radio, despite what some people would say. No. Something else.
All right.
You had something you wanted to discuss, I believe.
Yeah. I got robbed.
Yeah, you're going to have to fill me in with the details here because I haven't heard the story yet.
Basically, I'm a victim of circumstance. I was at the IM West playing basketball with some friends and had my wallet on the sidelines because I had my ID. Came back home a little later, opened my wallet, and discovered that the $33 inside had been stolen.
Oh.
And my understanding is someone else had their whole wallet stolen as well. I guess my wallet just wasn't as nice.
Yeah, they probably looked at your picture and said, this doesn't look like a guy who's got a lot of credit.
Well, bully for me.
Well, yeah, I think the worst thing would be to have your entire wallet stolen and have to replace all the stuff and cancel your credit card. So you got off kind of lucky, actually. I mean,
I know.
Relatively.
This way, someone else is not earning Qdoba rewards.
Wouldn't that be great if you track them down that way? Found out who redeemed your Qdoba rewards so that you could arrest them. I tell you, I lost my wallet, but this is a while back. Like a few months
maybe.
Ago. And I lost it
when
at Taco Bell.
You actually lost it, or was it just disappeared?
No, I lost it. Well, no, it disappeared and then wound up at the police station.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I was at the drive-thru for Taco Bell, and so I couldn't reach the window.
Whoa. Slow down. Back up. Why are you eating at Taco Bell?
Because it was past 12 and there was nothing else open.
Acceptable. Continue.
That was the correct answer. So I was at Taco Bell and I could not reach the window. So what I did is I had to back up and then so that I could drive forward at an angle so I could get to the window. But then somebody had pulled up behind me without their lights on. So then I kind of nudged them. I didn't exactly hit them, but I nudged them. So then I was like, ew, okay. So then I got out, and I went and I looked at their car, and I looked at my car, and there was no damage. So I was like, oh, okay, well, there doesn't seem to be any damage here. And the other person seemed like someone who doesn't want the cops to come around and was like, okay. So then we called it even. But then I went back into my car. But see, at the time I was reversing was I had my wallet out. So I looked for it and I couldn't find it. And I looked all around the drive-thru and I drove through a couple more times and couldn't find it. And it really pissed me off. But then about 2 hours later, I got a call from my mom saying that it was at the police station.
How did your mom know?
Because I don't know, actually. Oh, probably my campus ID. So they looked me up online and that was the phone number that was on there, was my home phone number.
Oh, I guess that's less exciting than your mom secretly moonlights as a Madison, Wisconsin police officer.
Yeah. So no, I've never actually lost my wallet. That would suck.
Sounds like you did lose your wallet.
I've never actually permanently lost my wallet and the things contained within the wallet.
Yeah, that would suck.
So, I hear you bought a beautiful Katamari. How is that?
It's not bad. I haven't really played enough of it yet to really get a good feel for it, but either my Katamari skills are kind of rusty, or the game's a little harder than the other two. Because I've actually failed a few times.
Really?
I feel kind of bad admitting that on, well, it's not NPR, but you get the idea. But I don't know what's going on. I'm blaming the controller. The controller's screwing me.
Yeah, well, the sticks aren't on the same line anymore.
Exactly. It's no longer like driving a tank. Now it's like driving a skewed tank.
It's like driving a tank in some skewed spatial dimension, which it just doesn't
like
work.
The bizarro universe.
It's like you're trying to drive the tank and then all of a sudden your hands start moving around sort of sideways because you're putting uneven pressure on the controller. I bet that's what happened. I bet that's it.
What?
Okay, yeah, that didn't really make any sense out loud. I assure you, in my head, that made perfect sense.
Okay, well, great. But yeah, I bought it. It's fun.
Cool. I decided that when I get money, someday, I'm going to buy a 360.
What are you going to buy for it?
Yeah, see, you're not going to like this when I say it. But Halo 3 was pretty fun.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was.
You know, I actually
it was really fun.
The other day contemplating buying Halo 2.
Why didn't you?
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
You have an aversion to Halo?
Well, have you ever played Halo 1 single player?
Briefly, not very long.
Someone should have talked to the level designers and told them that, hey, copy and paste is not a good way to go.
Let's just make this corridor extra long, something like that.
Or let's repeat the same part of level 17 times.
I think I remember playing it with maybe John trying to get through an area, two players or something weird like that. But, no, Halo 3 is surprisingly fun. I was playing it online a lot with some of my friends. And, you know, I was a hater. I admit it.
Yeah.
And now I'm not anymore.
Thank you. I just want some closure.
You don't like the implied closure? You know, that works.
Wait, what's implication?
It's when you say something without saying something.
Like when I say, I like your haircut.
You really mean that you hate it? Even though
No, I really meant that your face was ugly.
Well, exactly.
I also
got shot
with a nail gun.
Did you?
Yeah.
In the what?
Stomach.
Really? How? That's so much worse than anything that I was thinking you might say. Did it hurt?
It stung a little, but I think the sweatshirt and the 4 inches of fat on my body stopped the bullet or the nail from going in too badly. No, I was working on our MSU homecoming parade float and was standing there while my boss was using a nail gun. And when he shot it through the wood, like, the wood splintered apart. Like, wood pieces flew off, and the nail continued on through and hit me in the stomach.
Did it actually break skin and go into your stomach?
No, it just left a welt.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
but
not
still,
too bad.
I got shot with a nail gun.
Why are you working on your cafeteria has a homecoming float? Did they do that before? Have they done that before?
Yeah, it's not actually cafeteria, because I quit them, remember?
Oh, right, yeah. Yes.
So this was really more of a maintenance thing. And we won, actually, first place.
Really? What was it?
Yeah. It was a giant flower Beaumont tower.
Oh. You know what you should do next year? You should make a float of you being hit in the stomach with a nail gun, commemorating the building of the previous year's float, which won.
We could do that. In fact, I still have the nail. That's me hitting the nail against the microphone.
And you should tell everybody that this is the actual nail. The actual nail that hit me in the stomach.
I do.
And gave me the desire to win.
So
have you seen any movies? What I was thinking, if you didn't have an idea, which you did, and we're already a good 20 minutes in here, but it's what we could do, is we could discuss what we think about movies that are coming out, but they're movies that we know nothing about. So I'll read the synopsis, and you tell me whether it's good or not.
I like it.
So, like, we could start out with Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? Oh, I have to find... Oh, because now the reviews come up, and I can't find a synopsis.
Well, you look that up. While you do that, Craig Smith had a request, which I'm going to attempt to fulfill.
Okay.
So, Craig, this is for you. And anyone else out there. Doodle, doodle, doodle into the future where the doodlers hold the key to love and life. Was that better?
Yes.
All right, that was for you, Craig.
A big screen adaptation of Perry's hit stage play of the same title, Why Did I Get Married? Is an intimate story about the difficulty of maintaining a solid love relationship in modern times. During a trip to the picturesque snow-capped mountains of Colorado, 8 married college friends have gathered for their annual 7-day reunion. But the cozy mood is shattered when the group comes face-to-face with one pair's infidelity. As secrets are revealed, each couple begins questioning the validity of their own marriage. Over the course of the weekend, husbands and wives take a hard look at their lives. That rhymes. Wrestling with issues of commitment, betrayal, and forgiveness as they seek a way forward.
I gotta say, Charlie, I felt this movie could have been better.
Yes.
It was a nice idea, and while I personally absolutely loved Tyler Perry's, presumably that was his idea for a screenplay, for a stage play.
Yes.
And while I absolutely loved the fact that there was a stage play, I'm not sure that it translated as well to the big screen.
Yeah, I liked the idea of it being a stage play as well. But I liked the part with infidelity, but the rest of the parts with fidelity was not so good.
Well, let's be honest here. Some of the actors were very good, but a few of them could have done a little better. I felt in particular that the part of the third fidelious male, that's a word, was a little wooden.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I thought so too. The second one was much better, the second guy.
Oh, man, don't get me started.
What was wrong with the second guy?
He was just... I couldn't accept him as the role he was playing. Maybe it was just that his wife in the movie was just that much better than he was.
Yeah, she was hot. Anyway, let's move on to another movie.
I would just like to say, in conclusion, The Big Chill was probably better, even though it involved more death and less marriage.
That's poignant. Ooh, here's one. The Game Plan. I actually have heard of this one.
I've seen the trailer that I'm already giving a thumbs down.
But we have to go through the synopsis anyway.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Go move on. The Rock is a carrying parrot. No, thumbs down. Plus, it's got that Disney stink about it.
How about We Own the Night?
Oh, now this was a fantastic movie. I couldn't stop laughing. It was pure comedy from start to finish. What was the synopsis on that one again?
Bobby Green, has played by Joaquin Phoenix, has turned his back on the family business. The popular manager of El Caribe, the legendary Russian-owned nightclub in Brooklyn's Brighton Beach, he has changed the last name to conceal his connection with the blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. We Own the Night is an emotional crime drama about a man who has chosen to hide his past only to discover that he has to confront an inevitable future. Takes its title from the motto of the 1980s-era NYPD Street Crimes Unit. Written and directed by James Gray.
As I said, non-stop hilarity.
And the part where they couldn't tell, like, which guy's gun was which, and they had that whole mix-up, and then he tried to shoot the guy, but then just the little flag came out that said bang. That was hilarious.
And then, but wasn't it cool, though, how, like, then the flag turned into a bullet that shot the guy through the heart?
It was the double reverse. I didn't see it coming at all. By the way,
fantastic movie.
This gun actually does exist. I've seen it. They're testing it out on the streets of New York at this moment. So, you know, criminals, don't, you know, think just because you see that flag that you're going to get away with it. It's just a trick.
Very, very serious and informative advice. What do we got next on the plate?
Michael Clayton. By the way, for those interested, I'm just reading the things that are opening on RottenTomatoes.com.
Michael Clayton. What's that one again?
Michael Clayton is an in-house fixer, played by George Clooney, is an in-house fixer, in quotes, at one of the largest corporate law firms in New York. A former criminal prosecutor, multi-million dollar settlement, class action suit, brilliant and guilt-ridden attorney, sabotages... Clayton, okay, here we go. Clayton faces the biggest challenge of his career and his life. That's the only sense you need. Clayton, played by George Clooney, faces challenges.
I've got to say, I liked George Clooney in the role. My only problem was that he was not Dennis Leary.
That's true. I found that's been true throughout his career, and that's always been a shortcoming of his. Also, I feel that he could have faced bigger challenges. I think since you're going to make a motion picture, you could have bigger challenges than the challenges that he faced. So that's my two cents on this. I think George Clooney did a great job despite not being Dennis Leary.
I feel George Clooney's probably his finest moment was as the father in The Sandlot.
Was he?
He got so into the role that he actually not only looked like Dennis Leary and sounded like Dennis Leary, he actually credited himself on camera as Dennis Leary.
Wow, he's a method actor, I can tell.
He is. I feel that ever since that time, he's never quite hit that same height. And once again, Michael Clayton fails to deliver on the Dennis Leary factor.
I think you're going to be disappointed in our next movie then, which also fails on the same front. The Heartbreak Kid. I think you know this one is, Ryan.
That's the Ben Stiller one where the girl of his dreams turns out to be a nut job.
Yeah.
Can I say we've all been there, guys?
Woo! Snap. Are you being hit right now?
No, she's being assaulted. Room, so she can't hear me yet.
Oh. She can listen to it later.
Glaring. Oh, she's glaring at me.
Well, on their honeymoon, he finds another... Oh, and also on his honeymoon, he finds another woman who's not a nut job. At least he thinks.
I'm not sure if we've ever all been there before.
What would be great is if he married her then, and then found out she was a nut job too, and then, you know, just, I don't know, kills himself or something.
I feel like we haven't had a really good nut job movie since Saving Silverman, the defining movie of its time.
Yeah, it defined the whole nut job genre, in fact, I think.
Yeah, except for the whole it sucked part.
Well, you know, let's not nitpick here. It did what no one else was willing to do, Adam. You weren't willing to make that movie. Somebody had to make it.
Shut up. You know when Jack Black can't save a film that you've got a problem.
Oh, that's true. Have you seen... I'm sure you haven't seen Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
I heard it was the worst movie of the year, so I steered clear.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. It was just about the worst ever. Okay, so next, we're going to go to movies that aren't even open yet. I'll spare you the comebacks, because that's a little too easy. How about Things We Lost in the Fire?
This was actually a very good drama about the Southern medical crisis of the 1750s, which I felt truly captured the emotional roller coaster experienced by the doctors during that time period, in that fragile piece between the end of the French and Indian War and the beginning of the American Revolution. What did you think, Charlie?
I think it sucked.
Why did you think it sucked?
I don't know. I just heard that story so many times before.
Well,
it just loses all its meaning.
Hold on. Tell me what you got out of the story, and probably what Rotten Tomatoes also got out of the story.
After the death of her husband, a widow, played by Halle Berry, invites his childhood best friend, Benicio del Toro, to move in with her and her children. Danish director Susan Bier, after the wedding, makes her English language debut with this moving drama. That's a short synopsis. I like that one better than the other ones.
Now, did you not get the metaphor that I apparently got and you didn't?
No, why don't you explain it to me? Well, so the death of her husband was represented by what?
No. The death of her husband actually represented the loss of medical personnel in the South in the 1750s.
Oh. So then who's Benicio del Toro, the childhood best friend? What does he represent?
He represents the Northerner, who the Southerner has a problem with but must shack up with to fight the evil King George III.
Oh. Well, I changed my mind. This is brilliant.
I thought you would.
Almost makes me wish that... almost makes me want to see it, in fact.
All right, give me one more. What do you got?
Okay, well, I'll give you some choices. Gone Baby Gone. Mm-hmm. Rendition. Ooh, how about 30 Days of Night?
Isn't that like a sci-fi horror thing about vampires?
Yeah, it's no fun when you know what the movie is about.
Sorry.
The
you know, I heard they'd actually optioned a movie on Katamari Damacy.
Really?
No, but it would be cool.
Instead of a ticket, they give you some acid, and you just go sit in an empty theater for 2 hours. I think that just about sums up that game.
Don't you be hating on Katamari Damacy.
I love that game. Which, I guess, kind of lets you know my feelings on acid, too, then, I guess. I don't know. How about Wrist Cutters, A Love Story?
Are you serious?
There's some movie called that. I think you're probably the only one in the world who thinks the title is that hilarious. So Feel Good Comedy of the Year is what you're saying. Feel Good Comedy of the Year?
You made that up, right?
No, it's called Wrist Cutters. A love story.
Tom McGuire. That's my review for that movie.
Atomic Wiring?
No, the laughter for like...
Oh, okay. Well, what the movie was actually about...
Not interested.
Are you sure? It involves a bizarre afterlife reserved for suicides.
Definitely not
and
interested.
Lost souls and such. Okay.
Wait, who's it? Who's star? Who's it star?
Patrick Fugit?
Yeah, I never heard of him. Out. Gone.
Yeah, that's see, I had that. To... Because you didn't want to do any of the ones that were like in the main list, so I had to kind of go to a side list of things.
I knew all the rest of those.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well that's it for movie reviews, I guess. That was fruitful.
That's actually probably it for the podcast, honestly. It's been like, what, half an hour? You've probably got better things to do, listeners.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, me? No.
Right, because you are still unemployed.
I can make content all day. People wouldn't have enough time to listen to all the stuff I was recording. It wouldn't be possible.
I'm pretty sure they could fast forward and be okay.
Well, that would be against the whole point. But anyway, I guess we're done for the day. And for the Gopeski Wallace Report Maftcast, this is Charlie Wallace.
And this is Adam Gobeski saying stay tuned for next time when we may or may not have a very special guest with us.
May or may not.
Good. Well, I like
that you're covering your bases there.
I don't know if we can get anyone or not.
Well, good. All right.
I actually talked to John Shanks on Skype, though. So
yeah.
We figured out how to do conference calls. So it's doable.
Nice. All right, folks. Anyway. Good night.
Arrivederci.